before we watch that teaching over there, I want to just pray into a scripture here, Revelations 5. Let me just read it. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Father, what a joy it is to surrender into you, to you, and say, your will be done. Thank you. And this morning, as you have been sharing earlier on what you were busy doing, I want to just pray that and release that, Father, so that that which is in your heart will be made known and become a reality here on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to thank you as I look and I see that ancient building from Rome that represents the courts, justice, but it's covered totally in thick gray black. And I want to thank you for the rain. And so I declare in the name of Jesus that by the Holy Spirit, God's righteousness and justice will be revived in this land, in this nation, in Jesus' name. We receive the reign of your Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the darkness, the sin that has been covered, that's covering the true righteousness and justice of God, be removed. But I also see a cathedral that's representing the institutionalized body of Christ, and the rain is falling. And so again, I declare and I speak to the institutional church in the name of Jesus, the rain of the Spirit will cleanse, will revive, so that this scripture, because you were slain, worthy are you to take the scroll, Lord Jesus, and to open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And as we receive the power of the rain, and as justice and righteousness, your justice and righteousness comes forth, you have made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and we will reign on the earth. So Father, thank you as your Holy Spirit works and does the cleansing like it's never been done before. But we see the revival of your righteousness and justice. We see the revival of the kingdom and priests that will serve you, God, surrendered to you. And as we've been singing that incredible last song of just surrendering to you, Father, we speak that over the body of Christ for the awakening, so that your kingdom, your priests, redeemed by the blood of Christ Jesus, will arise and begin to rule and reign with your righteousness and justice in this land. And this, Father, we ask in the name of your Son Jesus, knowing this to be your will, that we receive and thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will do what we've asked the Father in your name, so that our Heavenly Father is glorified in you. Amen. Amen. Okay, for those that just came in a bit later, we're going to just watch Mark Hemmings over here, and you'll see that it's about the inner healing. And remember, when we're speaking about the gifts of healing, it's plural, the gifts. And you'll find that everybody is unique in how God has taught them how to minister the healing. Because remember, you do it because you've heard God and you're responding out of faith. You're not copying someone else's way of doing the healing. It must be how God is, as I shared last Sunday, where there's an integration where you, as who you are, become so one with that word that it's in you. And so you operating from that faith realm. And it's not just because someone else is doing it and you're copying them. Don't copy. You'll find that you'll be disappointed. Okay. Let God establish the truth in you, because then there's fruit. That's where you bear much fruit, because it's in you and you become really integrated with that word. And so this is another, just his journey of how God began to heal his broken heart. But there's some insights over there that I think is very helpful, that you're able to help others that are battling with the emotional broken heart. And that's a...
The title of the message is The Healing of the Soul. The Healing of the Soul. So God made us with a body. And, you know, you can injure your body, or your body can become diseased or have some problems. I mean, that's obvious, right? And he also created you with a soul and a mind. And similarly, the soul can become damaged in life, okay? And so I didn't know very much about that until I experienced it myself. So if I talk about myself a little bit... Because one of the things I found with the Lord is he allowed me to go through some things, so give me a greater understanding, perhaps, of what other people are going through. So I never knew that the soul could hurt, you know. I grew up in a very happy Christian home, very godly parents, and just, you know. But then later on in life, things went wrong. The Lord told me that they were going to go wrong, and they did go wrong. And it was more, the circumstances, what was going on was more than I could bear. And so I actually felt something snap inside me, something busted in my soul. And I never knew that such pain ever existed. I'd never experienced the pain of the soul. You know, one gets a bit down and, you know, and discouraged or a bit depressed about something. Maybe you lose your job or something. But I never knew that there could be such traumatic pain in the soul. And, you think, well, is this demonic? Is this, you know, because perhaps, like me, you've never experienced that level of pain. And then later I also had a burnout. And I didn't know what was going on. I was talking to someone a couple of nights ago that had a burnout, you know, and if you've never experienced one, you don't want to experience one. where it's like the soul melts under the pressure. And so, you know, you think, well, what's going on? You know, I had no concept. I'd never experienced. You know, if you bash your leg and break it, you know, when you get an X-ray, you think, well, I broke my leg, you know. But when the soul is damaged, you know, like I had no idea what was going on. And so I did some hard thinking. So I thought, well, I don't understand my problem, basically. But I do know that Jesus understands my problem and he is my answer. And that's what got me through. You know, I don't understand what's going on, but I know that Jesus is my answer. And that my connection with him to solve this pain is the prayer of faith. And that's where I think different therapies, including Christian therapies, get it wrong. They try to help the person understand their problem, and there's never an answer in your problem. The answer is in Jesus, and he already understands all about you. He made you. And so we should never become self-focused, but Jesus-focused. When you've got a crisis going on, you don't understand what's going on, it may not be emotional pain. It could be some other area of your life. Things are going wrong and you can't understand it. And sometimes, many times Christians can't see the spiritual forces acting against them. All right? But what you can do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what will bring solution no matter what your problem is. So in 1 Peter 2:24 it says that Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Because Jesus took in himself our sin, okay? The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So there was this exchange, this divine exchange on the cross. He took our sin and gave us the gift of righteousness. When he took our sins, by his stripes you were healed. Because the root cause of everything that's bad in this world is sin. When he dealt with sin, he dealt with the consequence of sin, emotional breakdown, damage to the soul, cancer, whatever it is, psychiatric problems, demon possession, whatever is your problem, when Jesus became sin, he gives us the gift of righteousness. He also has dealt with sickness. By his stripes, you were healed. Hallelujah. And you know, healing is a gift. Praise God, you don't have to deserve it. I remember a pastor in country New South Wales, little church, said, can you go up the back and pray for this lady? And she was from a very conservative, legalistic denomination full of rules. And I think she had arthritis, something like that. And she could not accept that Jesus Christ would heal her because she wasn't good enough. That's what her denomination had taught her. You know, always this preaching of condemnation and legalism and that you're no good and that, you know, and so she just couldn't accept that Jesus would heal her because she wasn't good enough. But praise God, it's grace that heals us. To maintain your healing, you need to obey the word of God. But he doesn't heal you because you're good. That's why anyone can get healed. Anyone can get healed. So I went through this problem. I actually felt my soul snap. And then I went to excruciating pain. And it went on gradual healing 3 to 5 years. It wasn't an instant healing. And we read in Jeremiah 13:11, for as the sash, you know what a sash is, clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel. Who's caused? God caused the whole house of Israel the whole house of Judah to cling to me. Sometimes you go through things and you begin to cling to Jesus in a way that you've never clinged to him before. Anyone relate to what I'm talking about? You know, there's a difference between what happens to a non-Christian and what happens to a Christian. The evil things that that you may experience as a Christian can have a good outcome because it's not in vain that you suffer. And so whatever you're going through, you can use it to cling to Jesus. The psalmist said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. It's like the circumstances that are causing the fear and the worry. Will I ever come out of this emotional pain? Will I ever come out of this cancer? I will trust in you. You know, you get these feelings of fear or whatever, and it prompts you, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. So circumstances will cause us to cling to him. That they may become my people for renown, for praise and for glory, but they would not hear. God has a purpose. You know, I don't understand. He's a mystery. I don't understand life, you know, but I trust him. And he uses difficult things in life for his praise and his glory, his renown. Amen. So, James 5:13. This really helped me. Is anyone among you suffering? Anyone suffering? Let him pray. So, when we're suffering, it might be suffering of the soul. What do? Well, pray. 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 Just seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Praise God. Is anyone among you sick? So there's the sickness of the body, but there's also sickness of the mind, sickness of the soul. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So we have a responsibility to pray for ourselves, okay? Don't become dependent on men and women of God. Amen. You learn to pray for yourself. But sometimes the challenge is so big, we need someone else's faith to help us. So it is biblical to call for the elders of a church or people who have a gifting in this area, an anointing, okay? For myself, I almost never ask people if they want prayer. It's their responsibility to ask. That's for me. You know, if they're Christians, it's your responsibility to ask, because asking is an action of faith. Amen. If you don't ask, then, you know, then all the onus of faith is upon the person who's praying. But, and if he, so, and the prayer of faith, where are we? He's to ask and let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, which, you know, praying over him, and the anointing will come upon the person. Hallelujah. Many in the church believe, you know, they believe in praying for people in circumstances, but they don't believe in the anointing. The oil was only a symbol of the anointing. And of course, the oil can carry the anointing, just like a handkerchief, an apron in the book of Acts, you know. We anoint people with oil, but that oil has to be anointed to do something. We're not just doing it for religious sake. Amen. So, you know, like I don't tend to use on other people oil and water because it hasn't been given to me to use it, basically. And therefore it wouldn't be effective. You with me? So the Lord will give us different things. All right. And the Lord and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So the prayer of faith is believing in your heart. So when that man that you were watching with the deteriorated hip, he needed a hip replacement in 3 weeks, and the Lord located the young lady Kelly to pray for him, all right? And my advice to her was to believe in your heart. That's the prayer of faith. Sometimes we pray for people and our words can be, wow, people can be really impressed with our words, but they never reach heaven because they didn't have any faith in them. They can be flowery, long prayers, you know, and you carry on, but there's no power in it, and because there was no faith. Faith and power. Faith working in love. Faith, power, and love. All right. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. So you can pray the prayer of faith for yourself. If you're watching on YouTube and you're going through deep emotional stuff, your soul is damaged, you can say the prayer of faith for healing for yourself. And many people don't understand that. They think, well, I just need psychiatric medication. But you can say, Father, I ask that you heal my soul or my body, and this is what I believe that you're doing. This is my prayer of faith, so that I do not doubt in my heart. I believe that you're removing the pain, the hurt, and you are restoring the soul and delivering me of any demon that is behind it. The prayer of faith. Prayer of faith you can say on yourself, and you can pray the prayer of faith, even without words, for other people. Hallelujah. Think about it. Many times we pray for the benefit of other people to hear us. But God is not a person. He's God. He's not a human person. So he is listening to the faith, to the prayer of faith in the heart. I remember in Melbourne, this person was going on and on and on and on and on about their problems. And they didn't realize I'd put my foot on their foot. And I just stood there. And then I said, then when they'd finished telling me all their problems, I said, you're healed. And they went off and they were healed. The prayer of faith doesn't require our words. Do you believe in your heart? Do you believe in your heart that God is healing your soul? Now, I know it's a challenge when you're feeling the pain. But to choose to believe in your heart that God is healing that pain, that destruction of your soul. Praise God. And when people receive prayer, like in a healing line or a meeting like this, to go home and continue to pray in faith. You know, not everyone's healed instantly. My experience with cancer and soul problems was it didn't happen instantly. You know, it was 9 years after I was diagnosed with cancer that the doctor, the oncologist said, you never need to come back to me, never need to have a scan again. But it wasn't like, it was a long process. And so the prayer of faith sometimes requires patience, long-suffering. Don't give up. I have a friend, Christian Barrio Nuevo, who lives in Sydney, and if ever I saw faith, this guy had faith. His mother would curl up in the fetal position with such excruciating pain from fibromyalgia. And then she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which is very aggressive, very quick. You know, you don't last long with pancreatic cancer. And so they took her to the hospital to die. And he'd been praying. Sometimes he'd call me. We'd pray together. He'd say, do you have a word from the Lord? I said, no, I just believe. That's all. Just believe. And so he took her to the hospital to die. From, you know, she'd just skin and bones. She'd lost most of her weight. She was dying. I don't think she could talk anymore. Power of God came on in the hospital. She walked out. Can you believe it? You know? And he was just telling me, oh, I'm so grateful to God. All I can do is thank him and praise him, you know. The prayer of faith. Praise God. So don't be a wimp. Don't be a spiritual wimp. You know? Our war is intense. Discouragement, you know, giving up. Don't be a wimp. Turn to your neighbor and say, have courage. You're an overcomer. Don't give up. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so, when I was struggling with, you know, the soul, terrible, excruciating pain, I would find, often there were people in their late 70s and 80s, people who had walked with God and who wouldn't give me stupid advice and condemn me, you know? Because I find when you share your problems with people, they go off, you know? They go off saying all sorts of stupid things, very unhelpful. So I found some people that I could trust, and I said, can you pray with me? And we were joined together in faith, and we continued in faith, you know, for years. And I could notice that I could see the improvement in myself. Like, I'd go, wow, today I'm feeling good. That's great. You know, that hasn't happened. You know, like I started to have good days, you know, and then I'd have a bad day, but it wasn't as bad as the bad days before, you know, and it was a gradual healing of the soul. And until one day I realized I'm free, you know, hallelujah. Amen. Some people would say you're going to always be like this, but you know, I don't know anything that's permanent. Before God. The only thing that's permanent in this world is God. Even the earth will melt with fire and all of this will be gone. Hallelujah. So he is our very sure foundation. Amen. So when you're going through problems, just base your faith on the word of God. By his stripes you were healed. It is finished. That's the truth. You may not understand what's going on, but he sees your faith, and faith moves mountains. You may not know why that mountain's there, but he'll move it. Amen. And it, really, sometimes you'll never know what the problem was, but you'll be forever grateful that he dealt with it. Amen. Praise God. Oh, don't say why to God. Say thank you. Why has this happened to me? Thank you, Lord, that you're dealing with this. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving in this. Thank you, Lord, that you're healing me, you know. I went to a hospital with a pastor, and we visited an older, lovely Indian lady, sister, and I hadn't met her before. And she said, I've been serving in the church for years, and she's asthmatic or something, and she's on oxygen. And why did this happen to me? Why did God do this to me? You know, like, I'm such a good person. I've been doing all this for God. How could this happen to me? I said to her, stop asking why and just believe. And the power of God came on her and healed her in the hospital bed. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop asking why. Just believe. Elijah was a man. So the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Prayed earnestly that it did not rain. You know, don't be a wimp. You know, earnest prayer. You know, and then you go, oh, nothing happened. Keep going. Keep going. Sometimes the answer, your problem is like a wall, like a concrete wall. And you smash it once with a sledgehammer, with the prayer of faith, and it appears that nothing happens. You don't see the crack inside it. And you smack it again, and you smack it again, and you smack it again, and you don't see the cracks inside the wall. Then suddenly, bang, you know, it starts to fall apart, you know. So it is with the prayer of faith. You know, some walls require several people to pray and fast in faith, and you just keep at it, keep at it. So, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Praise God. So this prayer of faith, add fervency, you know, cry out to God, even with tears, cry out to God. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm believing. I'm suffering. You're merciful. Lord, I thank you that you're breaking through. You know, I thank you that you're healing my soul. Hallelujah. even though, Lord, I absolutely feel terrible, I thank you that you're doing it now. This is what I believe. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when various trials, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. God is not a Maccas. You know? You just drive through. How come I'm having to wait for my Maccas? Come on, you know. Patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Where is the work going to happen? In you. God uses patience to perfect you. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then he gives an example. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. If you have what they call an emotional breakdown, and they're like, well, this is, you'll just be on medication the rest of your life or whatever. You need to ask in faith. Don't accept anything negative from anyone. You need to lift yourself up and ask him. Ask him. Just ask. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Amen. So, you know, sometimes, as we heard with Brendan tonight, sometimes you can suffer so bad that you opt out of the prayer of faith and you opt for something else. Could be suicide. It could be drug addiction. It could be revenge. It could be pornography. You know, you opt out for something else that further destroys your life instead of patience in the prayer of faith. Will produce praise and glory for his name. One day you'll be up testifying. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
You will see why the Holy Spirit, maybe 3 years ago, started to teach us about the gift of righteousness. And you will see why healing and the gift of righteousness, the connection over there, to be able to receive because of what Christ has done. And all the time you will see the foundation is the righteousness that we've been given, the righteousness of Christ. And everything is built on that. So there's a lot over there. I think too, what he mentioned over there is so important. And I was just thinking about what you were sharing earlier on. It's like a daily thing sometimes. Lord, I cling on to you. And that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. And it's by his power you're able to cling on to Jesus through those difficult times. And it's important. And like he also shared there about the prayer of faith and that wall. Sometimes we don't see the cracks within that wall. And you just, nothing, and then suddenly, my personal belief that, you know, when the Israelites went around the wall of Jericho, that was every round was a walk of faith. And inside, a walk of faith, all the time. And then when they shouted, yes! And then, faith, it was all about the faith journey, and we see that action of faith and how those walls came down. That's just my own personal belief. it's a real symbolic reality of our life and what the prayer of faith is all about in those walls, those mountains that we face. Oh, okay. You all good? All inspired, all equipped, getting ready to go and get healing and help people go through emotional healing. And this is huge for our nation, what we're talking about there. because of so much trauma, so much hurt that people face, and now the unemployment and all that's taking place. So the Christ, the healer, the brokenhearted, is such a revelation of the Father's love for humanity. So we do that. Amen. Good. Father, again, we thank you for who you are, that you've made yourself known through Jesus, who is the healer of the brokenhearted. We want to thank you that you have poured your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we want to thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, where areas in our lives that you have highlighted, that's like a closed door in experiencing the power of your love. We thank you now by the Holy Spirit and the revelation of who you are. We can open it up a bit and say, come, we need you, Lord Jesus, to bring healing. So I thank you for the grace that's enabling us to open up and to say, yes, Lord, healing. Thank you that we can say goodbye to that old, and we can now begin to just embrace life, life and abundance. So we ask this week the people that you have set up onto our path, that you're wanting to receive healing, to have an understanding, whatever it may be, so that they can really have an encounter with you. We receive them and we say, yes, Father, here we are to do your will. Your will be fulfilled in our lives this week as we just really go about, led by your Holy Spirit, so that we go in the name of Jesus, that you are glorified. And people can taste and see that you are good. So thank you for your grace upon our lives, but also your grace over our nation. And we just proclaim the power of the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, over South Africa. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.